Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places and Jesus, our Messiah. Welcome to one of the most unpopular broadcasts on YouTube. I think still losing subscribers every week here, but I will persist. What a show! I mean, what a show we have out there in the political satire land of America. The Antichrist is not very happy, or at least you would think so, by the script that he's given his actors to play. You know, first of all, you got this guy, Adam Schiff. What is this guy's name? Oh yeah, that's right. Schiff. Adam Schiff. That shifty guy who got up there and did a parody for the world. And he just made up stuff that he wanted Trump to be on record saying so they could bring an indictment and impeach him. Yeah, just like that. Just made it up. And that's didn't tell us while he was doing it that he made it up. But after a while, I said, oh, it was just a parody. But you know what? I think he was actually reading from a script because he was required to read from a script. And he probably even said, I can't say these things. They're not true. And they said, oh, don't worry. We got your back. You won't get in any trouble. Look, just look at the way things are going. So we had that, and that's gone. And now it's being repeated by others. Even Hillary Clinton, who is coming back, is going to run again against Donald Trump while he's being impeached. Maybe it'll make it a little easier for Hillary to win this time if Donald Trump is actually being impeached. But man, what a show. That's all I could say. Let's see. On National Public Radio today, yesterday at East Coast time, one of the female prostitutes, that's the commentators, set the stage for Hillary Clinton to repeat Schiff's lies about the Trump-Zelensky telephone conversation and to resurrect the false Russiagate charges and describe Trump as an illegitimate president. Corrupt NPR also pitched a softball that let Hillary explain away attempted investigation into her emails as Trump's obsession to prove that he won rather than stole the presidential election. NPR has made it clear, as it can be made, that NPR is part of the ongoing attempted coup against President Trump. And that's from Lou Rockwell. You know, sometimes I wonder, is this show that we have, this political satire, you know, they have these on Netflix and other Hulu and other places out there where they do a show about some guy being president or the secretary of state or whatever. And, these people are given scripts to read. And, you know, you watch these things and you go, well, you know, we know this is not true. But when you see the same thing happening live, in the real government or in Washington, D.C., it kind of makes you think. This is just a big show. These people are given a script because, I mean, who's really going to believe that one day we got a record, you watch a video, and there it is. What's his name? The guy running against Trump. Not Al Gore, the other one. Joe Biden, that's the guy. He's bragging about Corn Pop. This guy that, this tough guy that he stood up against many, many years ago when he was a teenager or something. You know, bragging. Here he is. This guy's, what, in his 70s? And he's bragging about how tough he was when he was a teenager and how he stood up to bad guys. But then turn the page, and here he is bragging again. The same kind of bragging. The same braggart in front of a camera bragging about how he twisted the arms of a foreign nation to fire the prosecutor that was looking into a company that he got a job for his son at, making $65,000 a month. That's right, $65,000 a month. This guy, his son never did anything in his life, had no credentials to have a job like this. And he bragged, oh, within 6 hours, I wanted fired in 6 hours, this prosecutor. And, well, he was fired in 6 hours and he's bragging. And now, because Trump talked to, the leader of this country about prosecuting, and by the way, we have a treaty with this country to work on prosecuting, things like this together. I mean, there's an actual treaty. So actually what Trump was doing was totally legal, but now he's going to be kicked out of office for that. Like I said, what a show. Almost like the greatest show on earth. You know, I always liked watching these political satires and fictions on TV, but boy, when it starts to play out in the news and in Washington, D.C., you kind of think, what's going on here? Who's writing the script for these people that they would get up there and bald-faced lie in front of the entire country and not even worry about it anymore? Well, I believe that the Antichrist is mad. I think he's not really happy with Donald Trump. So he's throwing everything he can at this country to overthrow it. He's just sick of America. That's right. He's sick of it because of what's going on here. And he wants to bring chaos to this nation because we know. I mean, look at what the Antichrist did in Germany during the 30 Years War. I mean, if you read the history of this 30 Years War, and you know, we're talking about Western Europe here. The whole of Western Europe practically was involved in this thing. You know, when you think about these nations and the conflagrations that they went through in you know, hundreds of years ago in history, dealing with the Antichrist, you know, that would be like, you know, I'm sitting here in California, and this is going on over in Texas, okay? Because Europe is just a big conglomerate, Western Europe is just a big conglomeration of states, like America is 50 states, okay? So it's like, that's how close-knit this whole thing is going on. And you have the other nations or other states in Western Europe watching this go on, some of them even helping out, picking sides. Some sided with the Antichrist, some sided with liberty and freedom. And so if you have never read about 30 Years' War, you should read about the 30 Years' War. And if I were you, I would read it from J.A. Wiley's History of Protestantism, if you want the true scoop on it. And so you see what the Antichrist with his shadow government did there for 30 years. They took that nation down into chaos. Life was cheap. People were being murdered left and right, and the political machinations that were going on there, kind of remind me what I see starting to happen here in America. I mean, I'm just hopeful. You know, there's a lot of talk right now about a new civil war. Really? Do we really want to go there? Where are we going to draw the line this time? Is it going to be between the North and the South? No, it's going to be between the populated areas and the unpopulated areas. That's right. And the populated areas are going to be divided right down the middle, perhaps, or perhaps a little lopsided toward the Antichrist, you know, the liberal, the anti-freedom, the anti-liberty side of things. Because Protestantism is liberty. It's because here's what the Protestants always did, you know, unless they were provoked. They always let the Catholics or the Catholic Church or the Antichrist Church, they always let them have their, you know, do whatever they wanted to. They just wanted to be left alone. We'll leave you alone, you leave us alone. But the problem is that once they gain the ascendancy, kind of like, you know, the daughter of the Catholic Church, that is Islam. Yeah, that's right. The the daughter of the Islam is the, is a daughter of the Catholic Church. And there's a history there. A few people have done a work on that, but you know, the Catholic origins of Islam. Look it up. I mean, read the Quran. For goodness sake. They got the Mother Mary being venerated in it. And, you know, and the fake Jesus too of the Catholic Church is being venerated in it. Read the Quran for yourself and tell me, where do you think it came from? Because that part of it that matches up with Rome, well, was pre-existed by Rome. It isn't the other way around. And you can look into that. And I wish I could give you a really good book that was done on that. There's a few Seventh-day Adventists, and you know how I feel about Seventh-day Adventism. They kind of have their own doctrine, transubstantiation doctrine, because they're not Protestant, they're not historicists. Although, you know, I have to say the same thing about Seventh-day Adventists as I say about the Catholic Church. There's a lot of good people in there. God even has his people in there. Otherwise, how could he write in the Revelation about that apostate Roman church, come out of her, my people? So just the statement that God made that some of his people are in there. And I've said that before, you know, because, I mean, my own mother was Catholic. You know, my grandparents were, I guess they were Catholic too. So there are good people in there, and they need to come out. They need to throw off and put down the worship of idols and images and transubstantiation and that old white man over there in the Vatican at Rome. And walk away from that apostate church. You know, the Roman Catholic Church, you know, does not have preeminence over the whole world. The Roman bishop somehow, by the power of Rome, by the very history brought to the Roman Pontifex Maximus, was able, by that power, to gain control over all of Western Europe. And it's all history. If you don't know history, if you knew history, well, you would be more in agreement with me than against me. Anyway, you're listening Across the Border. I'm Nicholas Arthur. And today, in the next segment, we're going to continue in our dive into the destruction of Jerusalem. We're going back to the time of Jacob's trouble, culminating in the destruction of Jerusalem about 70 AD. This was a 40-year period, this time of Jacob's trouble. And this is a phrase that is found once in the Bible, and which the futurists have attached to the 7-year tribulation deception, that period of time that they've speculated about in the future. Well, no speculation here. I have history, and history is our friend. And if history isn't your friend, then you're doomed to repeat it, or you're doomed to believe lies, or believe in speculations as truth. I mean, since when does speculation become truth? What a world! What a world we live in, and what a show going on. I hope everybody's enjoying the show. It's serious though, and it's a little frightening when if you know history like I do, and you see where it's going if it's continued to go in that direction. But I have hope. I have hope for America, because I see America's place in the apocalyptic writing of the Bible in the Book of Revelation. America survives until the end. It seems to be America is the schizophrenic nation. I'm going to call it schizophrenic because it's the lamb-like nation with two horns. And I say one of those horns, see, horns represent power. So we have a nation that is divided into two equal powers because one horn doesn't rise up or subdue the other horn. They seem to stay equal throughout the existence of this beast, which is not, there's no destruction of this beast in the scripture anywhere. That's another interesting point. This beast is never destroyed or anywhere in the scripture that I can find. That doesn't mean we don't suffer punishment and judgment, because we have in our past. The Civil War was one of those judgments on America. The earth beast, the beast that rose up out of the earth or out of the wilderness, and it had two horns. And these two horns of power, one is described as like a lamb or lamb-like, and the other one is dragon speaking. Well, y'all can hear that dragon speaking, because dragons are vociferous. They're boasting. They're liars. And you know, another thing we have is the frog-like spirits that have gone forth in the earth. And, you know, and they're in harmony with the dragon horn of this beast power, those frog-like spirits. So it's louder. I mean, the croaking is getting so loud today that it seems like you can't hear anything else. But then you have this lamb-like quality going on here behind the scenes. And you would think if you listen to what's going on there, you listen to the news, you listen to what's happening in the mainstream out there, and you would think, man, this nation is done. It's over with. There's no hope for us. We're going down today. And a lot of Christians say, well, God doesn't judge America, because of all the things they hear and see. Okay, if God doesn't judge America, then he should apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, that's because you're judging by what you see and what you hear. But if you realize that what you see and what you hear is what the Bible said you would see and hear, the dragon-like horn and the frog-like spirits that have gone out into the earth to prepare those that are opposed to God Almighty and his King of Kings, to prepare them for the great day of that battle, then you understand. It's mostly noise, and they're just louder than that equal lamb-like horn. Because what is if something is lamb-like, it's not boasting, it's not vociferous, it's not shoving things down your throat, it's not saying, you will be free or we will kill you, you'll be free, we're going to make you be free whether you like it or not. No, we offer you liberty. Us lamb-like, the lamb-like side offers you liberty, but it doesn't shove it down your throat. Now, the dragon-like side of the horn side with all of the vociferous frog-like spirits, they're saying, you will live under our interpretation, our definition of freedom, whether you like it or not. You're gonna be part of our commune, you know, our communist utopia. Whether you like it or not, if you don't like it, we will kill you. See, that's the dragon-like side. That's the frog-like spirit at work in the world today. But the lamb-like qualities, we're never going to be as loud as them. It's not lamb-like to force people. And besides, you can't force people to be free. You cannot. You know, it's another civil war? I mean, in America coming? Well, it's like, where do we draw the lines? But it is frightening. It is frightening to see it. And, you know, so we have somewhat a guarantee that, you know, because I do believe in God's word, and I do believe prophecy will continue to be fulfilled as it has played out in history. And I believe America will stand, and I believe that this lamb-like, you know, that's why I still have some liberty today. I'm not going to lose it all. I could lose it, you know, individually. But there seems to be this, you know, this equality, this, this equal power between lamb-like and dragon-speaking in America. And I see no indication in the scripture that it's going to change before Christ comes. It is not the beast that is thrown into the unquenchable fire. Of course, the dragon-like side is under the control of, well, the dragon gives him his power, of the first beast, of the Roman beast, which has its head in the Vatican and its shadow government all over the earth. I have a post on my website at crosstheborder.org, the most popular post there that gets more read and handed around more than any other. It's called the, what is that one called? The unholy trinity that rules the world. The, you know, if I go there, I can, okay, I'll put it on the screen for you so you can check that. Oh, if you go there, it's in the top. That's right. I just forget what my website looks like. If you go to my homepage, and you'll see it there in the top, lower center here. And it's the empire of the city, the unholy trinity that rules the world. And read that, it'll give you a clue. Okay? And be sure that you share that with all of your people on all of your social media. Email it to everyone on your list and let them all have a clue. Have a lot of other good articles there. I have, Historicism Explained in Defense of a Reformed Eschatology playlist. I'm writing a book on that. I'm actually writing a book on these two things right now. It's going to be apocalyptic history, yeah. So, a defense of historicism, and then I'm going to have Achilleist apology about the as a defense of the future, the millennial reign of Christ, for historicists and Reformed thought. So, pray for me as I'm writing this book. It's a lot of hard work. Even coming up with an outline, my brain seems to have a difficult time trying to organize it all. But like I said, it's going to take a lot of work, and I don't know. It may take me a year to get this book written. Maybe less. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what the Holy Spirit does with my brain. Maybe I'll have a little bit of Holy Spirit infused, power there to finish this thing before a year, maybe early. Or by spring, hopefully. We'll see. Anyway, I need your prayers. And in our next segment, we're going to jump back into the destruction of Jerusalem. So you'll want to stick around for that. Okay. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back in a few minutes.
Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org. When it comes to prophecy today, much of the evangelical Christian world has their eyes on Israel, waiting and watching to see when the Third Temple will begin to be built. The plans are drawn. The Jewish people are eager. Most evangelical Christians today believe that the rapture will happen before the Third Temple is built. Hi, I'm Michael Eugene. I was taught that Daniel's 70th week was in the future. Is that really what the Bible teaches? Have we searched the scriptures and found this to be true? Why is it so important for a reestablished Israel to build a third temple in Jerusalem? Is it necessary to build a temple on the same location already occupied by the Dome of the Rock? Is it necessary for sacrifices to take place in the temple on Temple Mount? Is there really a rapture followed by 7 years of tribulation? What is the New Testament temple? Can we identify history and prophecy? Who is the first beast in Revelation chapter 13? Who are the seven kings in Revelation 17? I have asked all these questions, and I have found Nicholas Arthur's new book, When the Third Temple is Built, answers all these questions and more using Scripture to interpret Scripture. The Bible says that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Nicholas shows us in his new book, When the Third Temple is Built, how the Bible interprets prophecy and not man's private interpretation. Visit crosstheborder.org, C-R-O-S-S, crosstheborder.org, to get your print, EPUB, or PDF version of Nicholas Arthur's new book titled When the Third Temple is Built. That's crosstheborder.org.